Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. God is good and His return is soon. I thank God that He's mightily moving by His Spirit. The Lord our God has so much to do before He returns. This is our chance to help a lot of people go with us. So every part of the ministry that He gives, He has put things in order so that we can succeed in Him, that we may go forward and not backwards, and do the greater works of God. With that in mind, we have to, just like we said on the last broadcast, the Lord builds things foundationally, and He builds things to win, and we win in Him. All of our work is very important and nothing to be taken lightly. We have an enemy out there that will try to discourage us in every way he can. He tries to discourage us from doing the perfect will of God. But we won. In Jesus Christ, we win. And nothing is impossible to those who believe. We have to be vigilant, ready to contend for the faith to the point of winning. We have to take advantage of every opportunity. That's what a vigilant person would do. We also have to be vigilant against the dying things, things that will cause us to die, things that will cause us to go backwards. We have to work against the enemy and destroy his works totally. We win in Jesus Christ. And we can do all things through Him, who helps us succeed, who brings us to victory. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is truly the author and finisher of our faith. And the Holy Spirit, see, we have the ability to ask what we will in Jesus' name. And it'll be done just like He said. But we have a coach that comes with it. We have that gift. We have that ability, that blessing, that grace. But the Holy Spirit guides us to use our faith in order to secure the things of God in our lives. And He can help us avoid the pitfalls that are out there. Now, I ended the last broadcast. The Lord had me talking about how the elements you need, He's going to expose to you what He wants you to do and why. And I talked about how my business was very important to my ministry. And I ended saying how there are many churches that are structured and organized, and they structure people the way that they agree with. But in the first part of the broadcast, the Lord talked about how, just like we always say, how He gives people a unique ministry. And sometimes the confines of organization can get in the way. Good men and women of God, people who love God, would be structured and corralled into a certain way of doing things. And if anybody deviated, they could be ousted. They could lose their retirement, their place, the parsonage, or their income, their position. They'll have to start all over somewhere. They'll be pitched in a corner where they had to compromise. And then they had to openly disagree with people that they truly love. And they were not free to deviate and do the greater works of God. Now let me give you a greater example so I can help illustrate what's going on. Sometimes there are things people don't know about the anointing, according to the way God helped me understand it. Paul was sent to the Gentiles, according to Galatians chapter 1 and 2. Peter was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Peter was one of the first ones to teach about the Gentiles being saved, but he was sent to the Jew first. But any Greeks that were in Jerusalem, he ministered salvation to them, and they got saved there. But Paul was sent specifically to the Gentiles to represent Jesus Christ beyond Jerusalem, beyond Israel. He went to parts of Europe. And he went, you know, Ephesians, Corinthians. You know, he went to other cities. And he preached the word of God. And they started churches. Now, what if there was some bylaws written that God didn't give, but let's say after the day of Pentecost, a group got together and they said, let's organize, let's do it this way, and this is the way we're going to do it. And this is the way the church will be built. And anybody that preaches, they got to preach at Jerusalem and before they go anywhere else. They say they made rules such as that, which they didn't do. I'm just using it for an example. Now, Paul is anointed to go to the Gentiles. In Jerusalem, he would not have had the success that he had outside of Jerusalem. He would have had greater success among Gentiles. And the greater miracles which he did do among Gentiles would not have been known. And he would have been cornered into living a structured life that limited him from finding out what his anointing could truly do. And nobody knew that he was going to write most of the New Testament. Nobody knew it. Nobody could know it. And everybody would have been looking to Peter. And if the men of that day had come up with such a plan, and if Paul said, well, I'm going to preach to the Gentiles, they would say, well, you'll be excommunicated, you won't have a parsonage, you won't have an income, you'll be on your own. And they would have greatly discouraged him from going forward. Then he would have to choose, well, I'm going to do this because God said do it. If he had that kind of courage, we would still have the writings of Paul, which we do. But if he had caved in to the demands of men and not listened to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then he would not be the writer of most of the New Testament as we know it. The Lord would have had to use a second-rate plan. So many things are lost and not done because of structured religion and the people behind it who are trying to do the job of the Holy Spirit, which they really cannot do. Only the Holy Spirit can commission. Only the Holy Spirit can grant people the office they have. Only the Holy Spirit can anoint and train you for the anointing that you have. Only the Holy Spirit can guide you into all truth. Now, Jesus would do it, but Jesus had to go be with God. He gave me a structure. He showed them things. He counseled them along the way. He did the work of the Holy Spirit in the presence of his first disciples. But now he has millions, and he wouldn't be able to reach millions in one day except by the Spirit of God. Now the Holy Spirit can deal with billions of people at the same moment because he's the same Spirit. And he can handle everybody. In fact, if everybody on earth got saved, if all 7 billion people that's living right now got saved and yielded to the Lord, the Holy Spirit can handle it. He can guide us all. He could guide us all and talk to us and commune with us all day long. And if you don't have vision for that, just don't worry about it. Seek him yourself and he can handle you. And if you can obey him and receive his words by your faith and conduct yourself according to the word of God and follow him, you will do all that is expected of you. and you will win many souls. You will be guided to your hotspots, and people will get saved. If this is your first time listening to the broadcast, a hotspot is just like a fishing hole where the fish bite. A hotspot is where the people who hear you under your anointing get saved and get blessed. Whatever you are anointed to do, that's where you will have success, because the people there are ready to receive, and the Lord knows it. And sometimes the people in the hotspots will receive what you have to say at the time God sends you to them. You may not always see results, but you don't have to. If you can obey the Lord, you know, it's just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, some water, some preach the word, some water the word that was heard, but God gives the increase. And sometimes the Lord will send you, you'll break the ground, plant the seed, they'll hear the word, like an evangelist. He breaks up the yokes, he plants the seed, he works miracles. And then he leaves. And sometimes people get saved. And sometimes people are being prepared to get saved. And sometimes the Lord water. Remind people. When they see the works of God, they're reminded. And then another evangelist will come along and they get saved. That's not something that the Lord deal with us where we are. Some people have been so wounded by the world, they hear in part. They can't see themselves according to the word of God. And the Lord has to work with them. And some people take more time than others. God is patient. Just because you don't see results in one day, people can't receive so much at a time. Some people need miracles. And some people are ready to hear. Some people have to struggle through deception and the problems that the enemy has done, and the wounds and the hurts and the fears that they have. And it just takes more time than others. So God gives an anointing to do particular things. Just because you don't see the desired results don't mean it's not working. And if you don't believe me, the devil does. He is afraid of every act of the anointing, whether you see results or not. He's used to what the anointing can do. You can speak a word today and that person will grow into a man of God or a woman of God that will conquer a person that Satan can't do anything with. And he is desperately afraid of it. Satan works in the shadows. He deceives people when they're not thinking. And he drives people to darkness. There are groups of people who work in the dark. And the enemy finds a way to get them whatever they need to be a problem to the body of Christ. Satan wants to kill Christians. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal your money. He wants to hurt you. He wants you out of the way. And the first thing he'll try to murder is your credibility. And he used evil men just like he used his demons. You have to pray over yourself. You have to receive God's wisdom and knowledge. You can't go to sleep in the middle of a war. You have to be alert. You have to be vigilant. You can't take things too lightly. Now, when I saw that the Lord would give me messages and help me understand things, I valued it, and I didn't want it to stop. So as I shared it with people, everybody didn't receive. The religious, those that were persuaded by organized religion, they were the last to receive from my ministry. They had their belief system that was in their heart, and they wouldn't budge. And among ministers, I saw very little success in my ministry. They would always try to find, it was like something was wrong with what I was, but I was speaking by the Holy Spirit. And some appreciated it, And some people didn't. They avoided me. Some got jealous. Some got tried to find, they looked for loopholes. It was weird. And I'm not against anybody. I'm just talking about how people responded. And I went before the Lord and got a message and preached it. I got some amens and some oh my's. But the people who have appetite for God's word, who really wants to know him, they will be the one. When I talk to people of that caliber, the Lord would always, always give me more than I knew he would. But when I preach the word according to the way he gave it, the people that had a problem with it looked at the clock. They tried to cut it short. So I knew when the Lord had me to go on the radio, I wasn't going to get much help from religious people from that were in organized religion. The reason is, it's the same thing. It's kind of like Jesus' ministry. Could you imagine the Pharisees giving him any money when they wanted to kill him? Now, I tell people to follow God. I tell them to do the word of God. And most preachers that I deal with do the same thing. But it's surprising how many people don't want to follow God. They want to follow their own direction. They want to do it their way. And I didn't expect for it to be this way, but the Lord helped me see what was out there. And some of the ministers I looked up to, I was very disappointed in their response. And some people were very appreciative, and they loved God, and they wanted to go forward. But some people actually had a problem with the things that God had given. Because everybody don't want to surrender. Some people want to stay in the confines that they have. They're hiding in church. Some people are not going to make waves because they want to, a parsonage and all the retirements and things like that, they mean nothing to me because I have my own business. And if I didn't have my own business, I'd preach what God say anyway. They'd just have to kick me out. I say that because I've learned to obey him, and that's precisely what I'm going to do. I'm not going to give in to cold religion. I'm not going to give in to things that's less than anointed. I want to see what will happen if I totally obey God. And I knew when the Lord gave me the radio broadcast that I was not going to get support from many people. But I believe God for what I need, and he supplied me. And I still work with my hands to do the radio broadcast. And I say exactly, I preach just like I'm teaching now. I teach the same way on the radio. In fact, the radio broadcasts are right next to these broadcasts. So you can hear precisely what I teach on the radio. And Satan don't like it. And the place he has in other Christians, he'll use it if they allow him to use it. The words say give Satan no place. Some people do give him place. They're hard. Christian people can be hard-headed just like worldly people. And if they're trained wrong, they'll think they're right when they're wrong. And it's just like my analogy, Paul was sent to the Gentiles, but if he was structured, if cold religion structured him only to start his ministry at Jerusalem, and then they'll make you comfortable. And when it's time for you to branch out and go God's way, then you're on your own. They're not going to help you do it God's way. They'll help you do it the way that they want you to do it. So I took the sword of the Spirit. There are no strings attached. In fact, some people, they want money from anybody that'll give it. I don't. when it comes to organized religion, if they want me to, if they try to structure my ministry, I say, hold on, just tear that check up, write void on it, and put it back in your pocket. Because I'm going to preach it God's way. And anybody to help me, I want them to do it from the heart. The Lord loves worship that's in spirit and in truth. And he wants us to be the same way. Let's deal with the truth. I love the truth and I hate the lie. I don't have to compromise. I will not compromise. When I began, I could feel the resistance, but I didn't know what it was. Some churches, I could feel the satanic resistance against the Word of God. In churches that have grown in the Word of God, there is no resistance. But when people are trained wrong, and the Lord have me say something that's different than what they used to, you get the stares and looks that you get. But that's all right. But when you're around people who love the Word like you do, you see God's best. You see the blessing of God. And the Lord will have you say things you never thought about. Because he gives grace to the humble. He gives to people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. His language is stronger. But when people, when they stick to old doctrines of devils, then you actually have to do warfare just to minister in that arena. And the more people are steeped in cold religion, the harder it is to minister there. I know from experience, there are people who hate, I mean they hate, the living ways of God. And it's just in man to do it his way. They love their own will. When it comes to the lust of the eyes, they don't want to let it go. When it comes to the lust of the flesh, they don't want to let it go either. And when it comes to the pride of life, they're the worst. They'll rather go to hell than give up on their pride. But they probably don't believe they're going. But they're going. The lukewarm church is going to go. The Lord said, tell my people my return is imminent. And tell them to get right. That they be not left. Being right with God is obedient to him. The sons of God are those who follow God, those who love God. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And the Word made that distinction for us. Who are the sons of God? Who are the ones that are going in the rapture? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are rapture ready. They don't have to get ready. They are ready. But people who love the rudiments of this world, they need to check some things. And all you have to do is read Revelation. What did Jesus say to the churches? Do the things he said do, and you will be fine. You'll be rapture ready. There are seven churches, and they had different strengths and weaknesses. Two churches, the Lord didn't tell them to change anything, but keep doing what they were doing. But the other five, they have problems that needed to be cleared up. So in your life, if the things that Jesus listed, if it's a problem, if it's against the Word of God, go ahead and just clear it up. Repent and become rapture ready so you don't get left. Well, my pastor said all Christians are going to go in the rapture. No, the ones who love God are going to go. The ones that are lukewarm are not going. And the Lord's not going to wait any longer. When that day arrives, we go. Or we don't. The Lord has always had to deal with difficulties. When, sometimes people drift and they don't always do what they should do. So Jesus had to address the seven churches, which represents the seven segments of time. Laodicea being the last church he addressed. These are the days that were represented by the church at Laodicea. People are neither hot or cold. They're lukewarm. I the Lord wants us to be like him. He's still looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, and not allow the darkness of this world to infiltrate their hearts so that they can infiltrate others. Remember, we bear fruit after our kind. So the way we represent God is the way he'll be represented, and that's how people run with it. Organized religion, they don't mean any harm. They're trying to stay safe and never get out of, they try not to ever get persuaded by darkness. But your methods of doing things, you can't limit the Holy Spirit, and that's what they're doing. And when people don't see the mighty works of God, they don't expect them and they don't value them. But the mighty works of God comes from people who have a heart to be committed to him. That's when you'll see the Holy Spirit doing an outpouring where he's blessing people, showing people his word, healing the sick, doing the creative miracles that we all desire him to do. In Jesus' ministry, he was unrestricted because Jesus was totally committed to the Lord. So when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, people saw how he lived, and they saw the standard. But if a person is lukewarm, come and pray, the Holy Spirit won't sanction him to do the greater miracles because his life is raggedy. We bear fruit after our kind. And people eat soup. They receive the word and they see the man of God and they see the miracle. Whatever that man do is fine. So the way he operates, the Lord will have a multiplication of him. That's why God is foundational, and we have to become just as foundational as God is. We do that by cooperating with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Trust me, when people obey God from their heart and they do the cleansing, they drive out the Canaanites out of their heart, you're going to see the greater miracles. This is nothing new. Now, I mentioned a few broadcasts ago about Samuel and Eli. Eli raised Samuel. You know the story. His mother prayed for a child. She had Samuel and she dedicated him to the Lord. So when he was weaned, Eli raised him. All right. This is Samuel chapter 3. And this child Samuel, Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. People were corrupt. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And Eri, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me, for you did call me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel arose, went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And Samuel called again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I. You did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called him. And the Lord did call him. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if the Lord call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay in the morning, and in other words, he had to tell Eli that his house was about to be judged, because he didn't do anything about his sons being vile. Now I'm going to stop there and jump down to chapter 8. Now, Eli raised Samuel, and Samuel had sons that he raised. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that his sons judged over Israel. Now the name of his first was Joel, the name of the second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and it came to Samuel in Ramah, and said to him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. You see the pattern? We bear fruit after our kind. Samuel had the warning, but his style of raising children was not much different from Eli's, even though he was one of the greatest prophets ever. So some things we accept that we shouldn't accept. That's why we need to be ready. We need to cleanse, purge out the things that's not bearing fruit, and receive the word of God that we may bear much fruit. That's as simple as it gets. And that can only happen as we're governed by the Holy Spirit. Now I'm out of time.